Welcome to the Envision Rise podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Hagerty, Vice President of Equity and Inclusion for Envision Rise. Joining me today is Paul Yocum, co-founder and managing partner of Find Mojo. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Stacey.
I'm so glad you're here with us today. Why don't we start with the simple stuff? Give us a little bit of information about you and tell us about Find Mojo.
You bet. So yeah, I'm one of the founding partners of Find Mojo. We're a firm that focuses primarily on helping individuals and teams thrive at work. So what does that mean? We've created a tool called the Motivators Assessment, and we help companies from small businesses all the way up to the Fortune 500 really dive into what drives their people and gets them excited at work from a scientific perspective. So this tool that we use, the Motivators Assessment, has been used all over the world with, like I said, people in any position or any role in the organization. And it's kind of our life work to help really solve employee motivation and at the end of the day, help people do a little bit more of what they love at work and a little less of what frustrates them. So it's a little bit about us.
We're going to talk about the Motivators Assessment in a couple of minutes. But first, why does this even matter? There's so much going on in the world. Isn't a paycheck enough to motivate somebody to do their job? I've heard that before, that you're getting paid. That should be enough to do the job that we hired you to do. Why does this matter?
Yeah, it's a great question, you know, and money is, in fact, a motivator in our tool. And we'll talk more about it here. There's 23 motivators, one of them being money. And what we find in our research is that when people take this assessment, money typically, almost 93% of the time, shows up in the bottom three motivators. So you ask, well, why is that? Is money not important? We all have bills to pay. We want to go on trips. We want to buy things. For a lot of us, we've reached a point in our life where the money that we make, it does meet our basic needs. And now other things have, in fact, become more important. And so while money still is a way to keep score, it's definitely a driver. People aren't going to turn it down. It's not the be-all, end-all that truly drives people to be fulfilled and happy in the job. We've all probably had jobs. A lot of the listeners out there can relate to a job they've had where they were paid well and they were still miserable. So money is important, but it's just one of many factors. And so we find that in this case, it's almost more of a satisfier. As long as it checks some boxes, then we start looking for other things to help us be more fulfilled in our work.
So not everybody's motivated by the same things, obviously. Let's talk about, why does that matter as a leader at work or even as an individual contributor at work? Who cares what your personal motivations are? This to me kind of falls into the same category as diversity of thought, but on a little different level. So why is it so important that leaders understand what motivates their employees? And why does it matter that I understand what motivates me as an employee?
Yeah, you know, this topic of employee motivation, we've been trying to tackle it since the early 90s, since, you know, decades. There's been, I think if you go on to Amazon and type in how to motivate employees, there's close to 5,000 books that have been written on the topic, right? And the top book is Why Motivating Employees Doesn't Work. So, you know, why bother? Well, the old school way of thinking is, you know, we're going to treat everybody the same because it's easy, because it's fair. And the reality is the new gold standard of what the best leaders do, at least the ones that we've worked with, is if I can tailor people's jobs and tailor recognition to what drives people, I'm going to get more out of them. You know, employees who are motivated, they pay better attention to detail. They produce more work. They typically earn more. But they're also 150% more likely to be happy in their personal lives, right? Most of us have never met a person who is super happy in life, but miserable in their job, right? And so what we found is that even though we as human beings share these 23 motivators that we discovered in our research, we all have them in different orders. The likelihood of two people having the same 23 motivators in the same order, you'd have to have a team of over a million people. In fact, we rarely see people that have the same top seven. I've only seen it a handful of times where even a team has two people that have the same top three. So the short answer is that when we can start to align people's work with what drives them, you know, think about personalization. Netflix knows more about your streaming habits than probably your significant other, right? Pandora and Spotify, they tailor your playlists that are unique to you. Google and Facebook tailor ads that are specific to you. Everything's about personalization. And we believe that leading people should be no different, right? So it'll mean more to the person. And it'll also show that the leader you know, actually does care about the individual, which, let's be honest, 95% of leadership is caring about other people, in my opinion.
So you're telling me that one of my first bosses might not have been on the right path with his beatings will continue until morale improves. Flat out said it to us.
I love that phrase. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, when's the last time you heard anybody say, wow, I just can't work here. They appreciate me too much for working here, right? I can't get anything done with all this awesome recognition and development they're giving me. It's never been said in the corporate world.
All right, let's talk about the motivators assessment. So I went and took it, and it really doesn't take very long at all. It's about maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And what it produces is this great report that's, I don't know, 40-ish pages maybe. So talk to me. There's the identities and then there's the motivators. So let's differentiate those two. And what does all of this mean? There's so much information, and for those of you that are just listening, I'm holding up the report right now. And there's so much great information in here, not only for me to reflect on about myself, but if I had my whole team take this, I'd be able to look at the results, and it kind of tells me, what does my team need from me as an individual to be motivated at work?
Yeah, that's a great summary and introduction. You could train on this already.
There you go. There you go, Stacey.
So let me give you just a little bit of background in terms of how it came about, and that'll lead into your question here. You know, when you think about assessments that people take, there's really kind of two main dimensions. Most people can associate with a personality assessment, something like a DISC or a Myers-Briggs, that really tell us who we are, how we interact in certain situations. You know, are we introverted and are we extroverted? And most of the time, our personality is baked into who we are by the time we're 8 to 10 years old. It doesn't really change a whole lot throughout our life. And then the second dimension is we look at things from what are our talents? What are we good at? So something like a strengths finder from Gallup can measure that, right? There's other strengths-based assessments. But what we found was just because people knew who they were and what they were good at, it didn't necessarily mean they were happy and fulfilled, especially at work. We're talking about from a workplace perspective. Mm-hmm. So the motivators assessment was created not to replace those other two dimensions, but to help give us kind of a more well-rounded picture of who we are. So in order to create it, we conducted a 10-year research study that was comprised of 1 million working adults all around the globe. We looked at every considerable survey and data point you can consider on workplace motivation or engagement. And we took this data to a world-class team of organizational psychologists, clinical and organizational PhDs, psychometricians, people much smarter than myself. And we had them mine the data, and we really wanted to look for answers to three questions. You know, what is most important to me in my work right now today? Is there something that gets me out of bed every day? And then while I'm at work, what are the factors that increase and decrease motivation? You know, we're not always 100% gung-ho, and we're probably not always 100% checked out. We're somewhere on a continuum. And then lastly, what are the factors that make people want to quit a job? You know, I just read the other day that 31% of employees, if they're going to quit, they quit within the first 6 months, which is kind of frightening because most of us go into a new job pretty excited, pretty ready to go. Most people don't start a new job and say, I'm going to phone it in and mail it in. And so with all this data, we looked at all this stuff and we boiled this down to these 23 motivators. Now, what a motivator is it's an internal driver that is, and I'll list a bunch of these things like autonomy, creativity, variety, family is a motivator, right? Mm-hmm. Pressure, prestige, recognition, developing others. And there's, again, 23 of them. And as you look at the motivators, you'll start to see that there are similar concepts or cousins, if you will, that cluster together. And the way your motivators cluster together, we've created these five identities. And these are archetypes. So an identity might be, you might be what we call an achiever, somebody who loves to get things done, to problem solve, right? If there's a challenge they want to tackle, those are what motivates an achiever. You might be a thinker, somebody who's creative, likes a little bit of risk-taking and excitement, hates things when they get boring and routine. You want some variety, right? So these five identities are really a snapshot of what's important to us at work. And then to your point, the report will show you for, you know, how your motivators rank 1 through 23, how they cluster together, and then where you thrive at work, how you can enhance your value, some of your blind spots that you might have. It is really detailed. And so that's, you know, kind of a long-winded answer, but it's the whole picture in a nutshell.
It's really cool. So, all right. So I did mine, and my top three motivators are impact, service, and family. Given what you know I do for a living, that probably sounds about right, I would assume.
Yeah. You know, when people take it, we always ask the question, can you find something that was confirming? And if people have answered the questions honestly from the perspective of, you know, what's important to me right now, they should find 99% of the time something that was confirming, right? Impact. You have this podcast where you're trying to, you know, share ideas and help people's make people's lives and work better, right? You think about service. If you were my employee, we would look for opportunities for you to, you know, how do we bring more service into your work? Is there a day of caring community initiative that you might be excited about? And then you mentioned family, right? You want to work in an environment where you have a little bit of flexibility. If you want to take off at 2 o'clock to go to a child's soccer game, you have the ability to do that. You want to make your family proud and leave a legacy. You really want work-life balance. If I put you in a very rigid environment where I'm like, Stacy, you've got to be here at this time and you've got no flexibility, you might start to resent work a little bit and start to feel like, ah, this isn't for me. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Most everybody's going to find something confirming, but there are also surprises. People will feel like, wow, I'm surprised this is as low as it is. Now, you have family at number three. Yeah. We have a woman that works for us, one of our colleagues. She's got 5 children and has family at number 20 out of 23. We always joke with her. We're like, hey, we're going to call social services on you. You don't like your kids. And she has fun as a top motivator. So she's willing to joke with us about it. And she says, you know, it's not that I don't love my family. They're number one in my life. But from a work perspective, if these other things are present and I'm fulfilled, I feel like my family will take care of itself. Whereas you go to work from the perspective of you're thinking about, hey, everything I'm doing, I want to involve my family more. I want them to know what's going on. I want to make them proud, right?
That's awesome. So my bottom three I thought were pretty interesting. It was prestige, fun, and money was last for me. And that is not to say to my boss that I don't want any money. But
right. I go into my corporate clients and I say, okay, how many of you have money in your bottom three? And then I'll say, I'm sorry, they brought me in to deliver the bad news that nobody's getting a raise. And it's a total joke because fun is also one of my motivators, top motivators. And what's even more funny and sad is that most of the room looks around and goes, yeah, he's probably right. You know, so again, it's not that money's not important, but if those other things are present and you feel fulfilled, oftentimes the money will take care of itself, right? You know, now earlier you're in your career, maybe money is more important, which brings up a good question because, or a good point that I want to make is that unlike personality and our talents, motivators can change. You know, if you have money as a bottom motivator and it's all of a sudden it's 2 weeks before Christmas and tragically your company lays you off and you were to take this assessment at that point in time in your frame of mind, now money might all of a sudden be a little bit more important. So there are things that can kind of impact our thinking in terms of our motivators based on our situation that we're currently in.
So that's a good point, that this is really a snapshot of what is motivating you in this moment. So if I were to have my whole team take this, I should keep in mind that this bends and flexes and moves around, and it may not have anything to do, I would guess even if something was going on in your home life, they could change your motivators at work.
Absolutely. We see it all the time. And, you know, I usually take the motivators assessment every 6 to 12 months just to see. And my top two have stayed pretty consistent. My top three, you know, usually something that's number one isn't going to fall to 23 or vice versa. But a lot of time things in the middle will move. And the way those middle motivators move, it can completely change your motivational identity. So I started out as a caregiver. And then I was an achiever, and I took it last year, and now I'm a thinker. Because of my work situation, autonomy is really important to me. I like to do things on my own terms, at my own time. Creativity is important. And so I'm also glad you brought up the team component, because most assessments don't really look at things through a team lens, but it's super cool to be able to put everybody's motivator side by side and see what do we have in common. What do we have that's unique to certain team members? what do we have that's out of alignment? Let's say your number one motivator, Stacy, were pressure, and that was my bottom one, and you're my boss, and you're stressing me out all the time, and neither of us know why. You get excited about tight deadlines. I shun them like the plague, and you know, you're stressing me out without even knowing it. So there are some really cool team applications with this as well.
That's awesome. So let's now talk about the identities a little bit. So there are five identities, and my number one identity is the thinker. So if you were part of my team, whether my boss or my coworker, what would that tell you?
Yeah, so let's talk about thinkers are motivated by things like creativity, autonomy, impact, variety, learning. They're curious. They like to explore. They like to try new things. They get bored if things get routine. They like to see the impact of their results. They like to know that they're making a difference, right? They're a little bit risk takers. They're kind of your rebels, if you will, in terms of, you know, the way they think. And where they struggle is sometimes they think they've got really good ideas, and they do. But if people don't see it their way, that can be demotivating to them. So that's kind of a blind spot for them. So if you were a thinker and you were on my team, we would sit down and we would, you know, sculpt your job to align more of your, we'd look at what your tasks are, what you do every day. And we'd talk about, okay, how can we align more of your motivators with what you're doing? So let's say, you know, variety were a top one. We'd talk, you know, we just, funny story, we just did this with a call center that takes the same inbound calls over and over again. And 35 out of 100 people had variety in their top five. And the manager freaked out a little bit and said, well, wait a minute, there's no variety in their job. And we found that half of these people also had developing others. So really cool. We were able to, at strategic times, pull these people off the phones, checking that variety box, and let them be coaches and mentors to new employees, checking the developing others box, right? So we call this job sculpting, which is the process of aligning your motivators with your work. And it's a great tool for leaders to sit down and really get to know their people, have some data that they can work with there, and just have these almost aspirational conversations, you know? So yeah, that's kind of the way I would approach it with you as a thinker. We'd talk about, what do you enjoy? What do you wish you could do more of? What frustrates you? And then we'd see, it doesn't mean you can get rid of everything. Somebody's always got to take out the trash, but there might be parts of your job that somebody else would enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we can change the way you do something to align it with your motivators.
So the other four identities are the builders, yep, the caregivers, the achievers, and the reward driven. Did I get them all?
Yep, you got
them. Okay.
That's right.
So human beings being as we are, we like to know which one's best. So which one's best to have on your team?
Right. That's a great question. Now, I'll just couch that by answering, first of all, there are no bad motivators. All 23 of these motivators are positive concepts, right? And as such, in a perfect world, you'd want a diverse team. You'd want one of each, right? So you have diversity of thought. You have people approaching things from different perspectives. Unfortunately, that's not always reality. I did a session last week with an organization. This was their leadership team. They had 9 thinkers and 1 achiever. Hmm. There was a little bit of friction in the room. I would ask questions. Thinkers would think about it. They would want to kind of process that. They weren't real. It was kind of hard for me as a coach and a facilitator. Like, is anybody paying attention? And I noticed that the achiever, right? Let's achievers. They love tight deadlines. They thrive when they're under pressure. They want ownership. They don't mind being in charge. A team without an achiever just won't get as far. They'll miss deadlines. I could literally see in this gentleman's face, the blood flowing. He was getting red in the face. Like, well, you just answered Paul's questions. Right? We hugged it out. It was great. But it was interesting to see how these identities on a team can kind of bump up against each other. And again, I mentioned we have blind spots. And so to answer your question, there isn't one that's better than another. They all serve their purposes. The key is to really figure out as a manager, well, what am I dealing with here? What kind of hand have I been dealt? And how can I manage to the one and mm-hmm. play to those motivators regardless? So, you know, a team without reward-driven people is not going to get the credit that they deserve. Reward-driven people crave the spotlight. A team without a caregiver might be a heartless place. They're very empathetic. They're social creatures. They have a lot of fun. And a team without a builder might not be aspirational. They might not look at developing others and seeing the leader in everybody, right? And so they all have their own role. And certainly the more diverse your team, and also we're a blend of these motivators and identities. So even though we're talking about identities from, you said you're a thinker, that's your number one. Your number two and three identities are also important because some of those motivators will pop up from time to time based on the situation that you work in.
Let's say you are the talent acquisition manager and you're thinking about adding in a step to the hiring process. When's the best time to add in the motivator assessment? Is this something you should wait until people are on board for, or is this something you would recommend that people have potential employees fill out to help with that diversity piece?
Yeah, great question. You know, it was originally built from the standpoint of assessing what is most important to somebody that's already in a job, a working adult. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't apply to teenagers and people outside the workplace, but it was built, you know, there's a lot of tools out there that will predict whether or not someone's going to be a right fit for a job. What we're going to predict and actually verify is that somebody is fulfilled once they're in the job. Now, that being said, while it wasn't built as a hiring and screening tool per se, we've seen a ton of organizations use it for just that. As maybe not an initial part of the initial screening process to determine, you know, does somebody have the skills and aptitude? But later down the hiring process, when you've got it down to one or two candidates, we've seen organizations that will have people take the motivators assessment. And then based on that, they'll look at kind of what their job responsibilities are. And it's not a guarantee that somebody will or won't be happy pre-hiring. But once they're part of that team, you can bring them in and you can show them, hey, here's where your motivators line up with the rest of our team. Here's what you have that's unique. And it's going to help the manager know going into onboarding a new employee, you know, how can I align this with them out of the gate, right? And how can I make this a meaningful onboarding experience in the next 3 to 6 months here where people feel like, okay, I'm doing what I love. Sometimes people apply for a job because they just frankly need a job and they'll do as the best job that they can, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be there long term. So while it wasn't created specifically for screening, we've seen that it can absolutely be used for that.
This is such a great tool. I keep going. I took it about a week ago and I keep going back to it to kind of digest a little bit at a time. And it's really very insightful. So, Paul, if our listeners want to find out more about Find Mojo and find out more about the Motivators Assessment, where should they go?
Yeah, great question. In fact, I would love for everybody that listens to this to take it, and we're going to let people take it for free. And wow. So I'll just rip off a URL here and people can write it down, but it's a little bit of a long URL. We do that by design so that people have to write it down and really want to go take this. So assessment.findmojo.com/free. assessment.findmojo.com/free. It'll take you about 10 minutes and it's going to show you your top motivators, your bottom motivator, your number one identity. And yeah, we'd love for people to take it and just see what motivates them. And then naturally what happens after that is, yeah, there it is on the screen. Awesome. After that, what happens is people will ask, gee, I wonder what motivates my boss. I wonder what motivates my teammates. And it really is eye-opening when people take this. They'll say, wow, this nailed me. Or, huh, I was surprised about that. I didn't realize that. And people will have surprises. And, you know, when their teammates find out about that, they'll say, no, that sounds exactly like you, right? So if you have a spouse or teenage children that you want to have take it, while it's from a working perspective, these concepts are universal enough that you'll still find a lot of applicability. All three of my teenage children have taken it and all found that it definitely provides them with some insight in terms of what drives them. It also helps them think about, okay, which career path should I take where these things are going to be present as well.
So. Oh, that's a great idea. I've got a teenager myself who's starting to think about the future, and she saw my results and said, oh, I want to take it. I don't know if she's taken it yet. I've got to find out.
Awesome.
Now, if folks want to just find out about Find Mojo.
Yeah. Findmojo.com, all one word. And you'll learn all about the assessment. You'll learn about the different programs that we help organizations with in order to implement it. You know, the assessment is a great tool, but it's really just a light bulb. It's a starting point. It's like, now what do I do with that? We've got certification programs for coaches and trainers. We do workshops and help, you know, leaders and individuals implement the results of their assessment, both from an individual and a team perspective.
I think this is such valuable information, especially as organizations are striving to become more diverse. And that's not necessarily just diversity that you can see. This is also invisible diversity and diversity of thought, diversity of motivation. It's all so intertwined and such an important piece to people finding contentment and happiness at work. And most importantly, staying. This is a retention tool. I love
it. Yeah. All the great summary, all those things you mentioned are never going to go out of style. And we talk a lot about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And this is a unique element to look at motivational diversity, because your team is going to be all different. You might have the same identities, but their motivators are all going to be different.
Well, Paul Yocum from Find Mojo, we appreciate your time today. I hope our listeners will take advantage of the free offer to take the Motivator Assessment. It's a really wonderful tool. If you'd like more information about Envision Rise, you can find us at envisionrise.com. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Stacey. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Subscribe, rate, and review the show, and be a part of making a difference, because it starts with you.